Scripture reading this morning will be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ambassadors for Christ. That's a pretty good title, isn't it? I like that very much. Oh, thank you, Leroy.
Oh, good morning. Why don't we open in prayer again? Oh, Father, we just praise you and thank you this morning. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your sacrifice of your Son, who died for our sins. We thank you for your blessings in this life, Lord, and in eternity. And I just ask, Father, that you would open our hearts, that it would not be my words, but your word, Lord, and your scriptures, that would teach us, that would strengthen us, that would encourage us to be the men and women that you would have us to be. So we praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I guess we could say that for any service, but I'm speaking to Christians this morning, and we're in God's house, and you know, we hope we're all of the same mind. But you know, we know from the gospel our place in this world. We know from Romans chapter 3 that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that God is holy and he's just and he's loving, but we know that his free offer through his Son, that if we reject this offer, Romans 6 tells us that the wages of our sin is death, eternal punishment, which is a horrible thing to comprehend. So, you know, we know the truth. We know what God has done for us. We know from Ephesians chapter 2 that God, through his mercy, has given us his forgiveness, you know, his grace, for by grace are we saved, through faith. So God's love and his mercy and his grace, you know, has given us salvation through faith in him, through making him our Savior and our Lord in our life. And Ephesians chapter 2 says, that's not even of ourself, this faith. It is a gift of God and not of works, nothing we can do to obtain salvation. It's totally his love and his gift that offers this. And that's so we do not boast in our own goodness. So as Christians, you know, we look to his word and we want to obey his word. And I thought, wow, these songs that we sang this morning, what a blessing that gives this whole message. I didn't pick these songs, and I thought, wow, this is exactly, you know, what we want to talk about today. You know, the first song saying, praise him. You know, what is our duty when we find out that we have a mercy and love and salvation from the Creator of the universe? You know, we praise him. We know him, and we want to praise him and worship him and begin each of our day with him. And the second hymn we sang, you know, send the light, the gospel light. What a blessing we have in this country. We have God's Word available to us every day. Every man, woman, and child has God's Word available to them freely. I was just reading about our early history, and it said even in our early history, by the time we declared independence, let's see, I think there were 4 million people in our population. We had 5 million copies of his word in our country. And now you look at our population, and we know that we have more copies of God's word in our population than we have people in our population. So this truth, this light, is available to us all. And, you know, what a blessing that is. And the third hymn we sang, you know, I love to tell the story. You know, and this has been our place so far. You know, we've seen God's truth. We've accepted him as Christians. And now we should love to tell the story. Because the hymn says, because many have not heard. You know, even in a culture where there's many copies of God's word, and there's churches, many of them in every town, and there's programs on television, and, you know, just saturating our land, you know that it's a spiritual warfare when many people have not heard. As a high school teacher, I talked to kids who didn't know anything about Jesus except, yeah, he was this guy that lived a long time ago and he was a good man. And you say, what a tragedy. We live in a land where God has blessed us with his truth, and yet, you know, so many people do not know that truth. I've been out and shared God's truth in Wausau, just on the street, you know, talking to people or knocking on our doors, which is something I never wanted to do. I thought, hey, that's something I'm never going to do, knock on doors. But this program we have in our church, you know, we went out and we did that, and I found out, hey, people are hungry. People don't know this truth. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, I never heard that before, when you share the gospel with them. So we should love to tell the story. And that's kind of what I want to speak on today, and hopefully will encourage us and instruct us and bless us. So we're going to start out, and we're just going to look at three places in God's word. We could do this all day and all night and look at the same thing, but, you know, just summing up both from the New and the Old Testament. You've got the kind of the sheet with all this information on. Let's start out in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 33. And Ezekiel is a priest and a prophet about 500 and some B.C., and God gave him directions on what he wanted to do. But these are directions also to us, so let's just read these words in the seriousness of it. Ezekiel 33, verses 8 and 9. God says to him, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And he says to Ezekiel, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Say, wow, that's an unbelievably strong message. Here specifically to Ezekiel. But God gives the same instruction to us. Now, that doesn't mean if we're not out sharing with people in life that we're on the road to hell, okay? But it says this is God's instruction to us, that there's lost people all around us. And our duty, if we are Christians, are to be concerned about those people and share this truth. Now, it's just unbelievable. I look at myself and I say, wow, I get excited about so many things when I'm talking with people. Whether it's football or something I read in the paper or criticizing our president or whatever, every day the words on my lips should be God's truth. Just through natural sharing. You know, God loves us, and this is what he's done in my life, and this is what I've learned from his word today. Through just a natural sharing is where we should be. And so both Ezekiel and we are full of that. Let's turn to the New Testament, Matthew 5. Matthew verses 13 to 15. Here Jesus is talking to us. So we get this direction from the Old Testament. You know, I always think when people say, well, I'm a pretty good person. No, I don't really sin a lot. And you look at God's first commandment. And in Deuteronomy, you know, he said, this is the most important commandment. And Jesus, in the New Testament, was asked, what is the most important commandment? And he said, it is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Okay, that's the commandment. I break that commandment every single day. And yet God has grace and mercy and love for us. And knows our humanness and our sinfulness, even though we break this commandment. So if we look at Jesus talking in chapter 5 of Matthew 13 to 15. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherefore shall it be salted? It is good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all in the house. So what's our instruction? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, so Jesus says, hey, you need to be light. We need to be salt. You know, we're not just living here and dying here for salvation in heaven. We have a duty here on earth. Let's look at one more verse in the Gospel of John. In chapter 15, in verses 1 to 9, and here's again Jesus talking about us and our relationship to him. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may be bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. He's saying, hey, wow, we are the branches. He's the, you know, God is the strength, the source of all power. And he gives us power. And what would he have us to do? He would have us to be salt and light. He would have us reflect his truth. You know, so the verses we read before I came up, and we'll look at them again, but it talks about we are ambassadors. And I put on the notes, you know, what is an ambassador? What are the characteristics of an ambassador? An ambassador is in a foreign country. Ambassador is different from most of the people in that country. It's a different language they speak, a different culture they live in. And Jesus said, our citizenship is in heaven. We are ambassadors. We live in a foreign country. This world we live in isn't God's world, okay? The majority of people in this world do not know him. So it's a foreign world, a foreign language. They don't speak the same thing. You look at the programs on television, you say, hey, they're speaking a different language of values. In the movies and the books and the, you know, the practice of the people. So we are in a foreign land. What's our purpose of an ambassador? It said he and she, or he or she, represents his king and carries the message of his sovereign. And that's us. We carry the truth. We have the gospel truth. And it's our duty to share this with those around us who do not know this. It says, the ambassador's person and character and virtue lend way to the authenticity and the dignity of his kingdom. You know, most days I pray that I would not do anything that would blaspheme the name of Christ, because so often you hear, well, those Christians, you know what they're like. You know, they're hypocrites, and they say this, but they do this. So the way we live, not only the words that we speak, are so important as ambassadors. So in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. Okay, that's our future, but we're living now on this earth with a duty to proclaim his truth. We've been called to share with people of the world the message of our King. So let's look back at those 2 Corinthians again, chapter 2 that we read. Chapter 5. And let's just look at the last part of that, verses 17 through 20, which was part of what we read this morning. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. That's us, if we are Christians. He says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he does what? He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he concludes, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. And we look at this, and you know, I apply this to myself, and I say, how come I don't live this every day? This is the greatest calling in life that God has given to us. The greatest privilege in the world. Sharing the gospel, the good news with people who do not have this truth. We can know God. God wants to know us. He loves us. We can be reconciled to him. We have an eternity in heaven through his blessing. And you say, hey, wow, is there any message in the whole world more valuable, more important than that? And what should convict me is, what is the status of men and women without this truth? It's readily available to every person on earth. You know, God has put his Spirit in us. He's put not a Holy Spirit. We receive that when we receive God, but he's put an awareness of him in us. He said, hey, we can look at creation and we can see him. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth proclaims his handiwork. You know, day after day pours forth speech. So we have his word, his truth. And you say, hey, what's the status of men and women without this truth? And the horrible truth is that they are going to spend eternity in hell. Not because God sends them there, but because they refuse to listen to the truth that they've been given. If we look at being an ambassador, which is our place in life, it's an unbelievable blessing. But I want you to think of blessings. I don't think we necessarily look at blessings in the right way. Paul said, I am blessed. Okay, David said, I am blessed. In the scriptures, in the Psalms, he's talking about how he's blessed. And then he talks about the unbelievable problems he's going through. Paul said, I am blessed, okay, while he's being stoned, while he's being, you know, beaten, while he's being shipwrecked. So, you know, there's kind of two sides to blessing. It's, you know, God says, in this world, you'll have tribulation. You know, but fear not, I've overcome the world. But on the other hand, the blessing is a wonderful experience to live on this earth and trying our best to be in God's will. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And we can apply this to ourselves. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Any truths that we look at that are given to us by men, it's interesting how often they're exactly the opposite of what God's Word says. You know, man's wisdom says, hey, go for the gusto, you only go around once. Somebody does something to you, pay them back 10 times as much for bad. Okay? And that's not God's truth. But I look at this and I look at myself and say, well, I can identify with Paul here. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. You know, going out and sharing with people doesn't come easy. And I think it's because Satan is and evil is in the world saying, hey, you don't want to talk about that. You know, they don't want to hear this. And it takes, you know, us to stand up and say, well, hey, it's not me that's speaking. You know, God says, don't fear men who die. Fear me, who has the power to send people to heaven or hell. And what a blessing he's given us to. So I just encourage you guys to, hey, live your Christian life. We don't want to die and go to heaven and God say, what have you been doing for 60 years, you know? Not much. Watching football, you know, talking about Obama and those type of things. That's not our purpose. Doesn't mean don't do those other things. But it means, hey, we should be involved in the most important thing in life, right? So, God bless you.